It's our party, we can do what we want. It's our party, we can say what we want. It's our party, we can love what we want. We can kiss who we want, we can screw what we want. It's our party, we can do what we want. It's our party, we can say what we want. It's our party, we can love what we want. We can kiss who we want, we can screw what we want.
Red cousin, sweaty bodies everywhere. Hands in the air. We came to have so much fun now. Hey, somebody here might get some now.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 73 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
And I'm Cheryl.
Happy New Year, everybody. Our first show of the new year.
Happy New Year.
But all we're going to do is talk about last year. Much like the ebbs and flows of Hollywood, our year has sort of suffered some peaks and some valleys, both personally and professionally. Overall, I think it's been fairly decent. I think we've made some headway.
I think so too.
I think if you were to look at the year as a whole in terms of a race, I had lots of momentum at the beginning of the year and ran out of steam at the end.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, seem to play the role of the turtle and just kind of go slowly along, and then all of a sudden
spurt. Yeah.
Which is fine, because I mean,
if it works,
we got stuff done.
Yeah.
The first half of our year was pretty front loaded in terms of writing scripts. I mean, by the time I left Copelson in March, we knocked out 3 of them
and just basically have been tweaking.
Yeah, we've spent the year tweaking, although I've gone off and started other things, but for the most part, yeah, it's been tweaking. We had our first, you know, real meeting with a manager, not
friends.
Know, friends, podcasty type situations, which was good. I don't know how much you want to talk about some of sort of the ebbs and flows in your world.
No, once the year's over, I'm done with it.
Me, on the other hand, also started strong personally in the front half of the year and totally tanked the second half. Hardcore. So I'm still trying to get out from under that.
Good times.
I never really talked about, you know, it's funny, I was listening to the Nerdist podcast before we sat down to do this, and I was listening to their year in review, and I saw a lot of similarities, and those guys are, you know, fairly successful to a certain extent, and one of them was working at a job where they were just zapped creatively because they weren't doing what they should have been doing, and, you know, clearly reminded me a lot of my time with Copelson.
Right.
You know, I think there's enough distance now where, you know, I don't really feel the need to talk about it, but, it was just a really shitty job where, I used to come home every day and just be cranky and angry.
Want to stab yourself in the eye. Yeah.
And,
not write.
Yeah. Do everything but write, even though writing was a thing that would have been getting me out of there.
Right.
But I couldn't muster up the
motivation for
the motivation.
It being sucked all day.
Yeah. Sucked into a level of deep depression.
So did he switch his job?
Yeah. He got out. And same thing happened with me. As soon as he got out, I mean, I just started cranking out pages because I was happy to not be there anymore.
Right.
The place was the black hole for the soul.
Yes.
And it wasn't just me. I mean, there was a group of us.
Took out a lot of people.
Yeah, it did take out a lot of people. There were 3 of us there working, and within 1 week, 2 of us quit, and that was 2 months after somebody else was let go, or got out. We all wanted to jump ship together. And I have since been back to visit, yeah, it's still just walking in there made me feel
sad.
It didn't. Well, you know, it's funny because the assistant that took over for me was there by herself, you know, the lights were off in the two offices mm-hmm. except hers. Mm-hmm. No interns. It was, what, a week and a half before Christmas. And immediate flashbacks. It's just, there's no windows in the office, too, by the way.
It's like a jail.
It's literally like sitting in a prison for 9 hours a day dealing with the shittiest human beings on the planet. So, yeah, good times. And, you know, it is what it is. And you know, for most people know that I left Copelson to join Final Draft.
Mm-hmm.
And... again, I haven't really talked about my time at Final Draft. I'm no longer there. I haven't been for a while. That, you know, looking back, reflecting on that, I just realized that moving from... it wasn't as much as people think that Final Draft is sort of in the industry. It's not. It's a software company.
Right, right.
They could be doing, you know, a piece of software that helps out chefs doing
exactly.
a cookbook. It doesn't mean they sort of know how the industry works. And that's it, by the way, no slam to them, because that's just not their background.
Right.
These people are marketing people. They're corporate people who've gotten jobs, who,
and,
you know, people who have MBAs that come into a software company to sell a product.
Right.
That's what it is. And I made a few missteps thinking that I should have... that it was really sort of being a part of the entertainment industry. And I haven't really been in the corporate world in a very, very long time.
Right.
And so long that I forgot how to play the game.
Right.
I wasn't fired. Let's make that clear. My position was, quote unquote, dissolved. most of you know that version 9 has been delayed until, I guess, this year. I think it's coming out.
I was just saying, didn't you say January?
I think January. They were not, and if anybody remembers sort of what was happening, it was supposed to come out in September, then October, and then it's just a clusterfuck. So they essentially dissolved my position because they couldn't really afford to have me around. So,
but it did get you out of Culpson.
Yeah, it did get me out of Culpson.
I took it as a, if that's how it had to be done, that's how it had to be done.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, my time since Final Draft, I mean, I've essentially been unemployed for a few months, but, you know, as Deborah likes to put it, we're not employed, we're working from home.
Yes.
Which is what we're doing, you know,
I think
being out of Final Draft sort of forced me to focus on what I need to be focused on. I mean, it's not like I'm not applying for jobs.
Right.
I am doing that. But
you have time to write.
But now I have time.
And not
only have time to write, but I have time to explore other avenues.
Right.
I have time to network a little bit more because I'm not beholden to an hour of when I get off.
Right.
We have a little bit more freedom during the week to meet with people.
Right.
To take meetings, to set up meetings, to put brunches together, to bring people together, doing this podcast. Which I want to talk about the ebbs and flows of the podcast in a second, but you know, I think that, you know, sort of spanning my year, and I have been thinking about this a lot, as many do on New Year's. My year is exactly what life is like in Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, you have a stable job that pays you shit. You leave that for an awesome job that pays you a whole bunch of money. You lose that job. You go through depression. You go through your savings quite quickly. And then you find other avenues to, whether it's to get income or to achieve creatively or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, okay, that year's over and... I've totally learned from this year is that I will never take a job for granted ever again, especially in this town.
Right.
And I should have known better.
Yeah.
But that was my bad.
Yeah.
So yes, it was any gig I get, I will assume it has a 3-month lifespan and just roll that way.
Yep.
And continue
probably
to
safer.
Move forward
yeah.
on what we ultimately want to do.
Make movies.
Yes, make movies. You know, the podcast, I think, has been, you know, we've done really well this year in terms of kind of moving out on our own. We started the year attached to Marvin's newsletter and the BOCE community. And that, much like everything else, is something that we had to get out from under the thumb. And
well, we didn't really need to be under the thumb in the first place. It wasn't, well, you know what I mean? It's not like you were getting paid for it anyway.
That we weren't getting paid. And it was really about the numbers. And then which, you know, we've sort of talked about on the show, but I will reiterate that we just came to a crossroads where it was very hard for us to have Marvin giving his spiel at the top of the column.
And they wanted us to go another way also.
And us at the bottom saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody tells you that, it's bullshit.
Right.
It was very hard to keep that going, that contradiction going. And then it just came to the time where we had to step away. And I think we've done quite well on our own.
Yep.
But needless to say, we had our fair share of ebbs and flows over this year. I guess I think you take Little Studio Films as a positive, and in terms of, well, I mean, it definitely helped our numbers.
Right.
It definitely got the word out there, and it spread the word about Little Studio Films.
And you know what? Let people decide on their own with that. So
I took a hit for it. But I think it's really more comical than anything else.
I agree. That's how you should look at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely. And we've had some really awesome guests, and mm-hmm. we've had returning guests, and as usual, we're always working on bringing new people in, and I will go on the air publicly now and say this, that We actually watched a documentary over the holidays about firefighters in Detroit called Burn. And it's on Hulu. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. It's not on Hulu. It's on Netflix and HBO.
Right.
But if you can catch it, it's really, truly amazing. And, I knew firefighters in Detroit were fairly fucked. But I did not realize how bad it really was. And I've had experiences.
Why any of them stay, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I've had experiences, actually. I have a personal story of my grandfather's house burned down, and much of the things that they talk about in the documentary was a direct result in why my grandfather's house burned down. So, yeah, there's a connection there. The producer / co-director is from Detroit. She's out here. I'm going to go after her. I've already exchanged emails with her, and hopefully we can connect sometime this year. And I want to get her on the show to promote the documentary.
Done and what's the difference? I'm sure documentary is extremely different.
And what's amazing is they got unbelievable access to the Detroit Fire Department. A couple of houses in particular, the new fire chief, they essentially drove around with him.
Right.
I'm fairly confident that they had GoPros on the helmets of the... I mean, they had cameras mounted on the firefighters going mm-hmm. into fires. So there was definitely a lot of perspectives where you don't normally see. I felt that to be fascinating, as well as the stories in and of itself the individual firefighters and what they had to do. I mean, these guys are literally working second jobs. One firefighter works in a barber shop. Another firefighter works
They don't get paid enough.
Doing roofing. A lot of them do construction and home repair and shit on their days off. After spending 80 hours a week fighting fires, they then go and do manual labor just to make ends meet. And not only are they fighting fires for 80 hours a week, but they're doing so with extremely shitty equipment that hardly ever works.
And as a filmmaker, to actually do something good rather than just, I want to tell one of my stories.
Right.
To actually bring attention to something that needs attention.
Yeah.
That's gotta feel a lot.
Pretty good. Definitely check out the documentary. I'm gonna hit her up next week and see if we can make something happen. She seemed fairly open to the idea.
Cool.
It was just right. I contacted her right in the middle of Thanksgiving.
Right.
Christmas.
Holiday.
Yeah. So we also have our. We're going to have John and Lottie back in February with some cast members to do another thing about Chastity Bites, but we're going to talk about the DVD release.
Yep.
We also have a special thing planned with them that we're going to do separate from the show. That's going to be a load of fun. I've already laid it out to the boys, the Alejandro, Johnny, and Steven.
Right.
Alejandro and Johnny have come on the show, but the three of them have not come on together. And we've
as,
been trying
as,
to get
as
it.
Group writers, they
yeah.
all write together.
And they're tearing it up. I mean, they're. He told me that they've just optioned a couple of more scripts and a potential studio deal coming up. So they have a lot going on.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to have those guys back on the show, either together or individually. So yeah, there's a lot of good things coming up, and we'll have to get Deborah back on and talk about what
I'm
we're
sure
working on.
I'm sure she'll have already done something amazing.
Well, she already has.
Yeah, I know.
You know, she... I'll save that. That's
yeah,
her
yeah,
story
yeah,
to tell.
Story.
But she's tearing it up,
yeah.
as typical Deborah. which is why I'm extremely glad that we've quasi-hitched our wagon to a project with her, so...
Yes.
I don't know. Is there anything you want to say about the year? Either personally or professionally?
Well, I think as far as the podcast, I did want to make a comment about the podcast because, you know, it had a very specific... When it was a column, it was very specific.
Yes.
But you have to know that eventually you're going to run out of material. Like, we can only say, don't do that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way it's branched out as far as having guests and getting different points of view from the industry, definitely. That's the whole point.
Right. And that was always going to be mm-hmm. sort of the thing that we were after.
Right.
You know?
I mean, even though the focus is writing for us, obviously, but...
Well, I mean, it's... I've never seen it as just about writing. That's just the thing that we know the most about.
Right.
So I actually like it when we don't talk about writing. I mean, doing shows with you is great,
mm-hmm.
but it gets really hard.
I know. You know what? That brunch that we had with... Did we mention that yet?
Yeah, we did.
That was the last show. Right. Yeah. That the conversation never hit on writing.
No.
It was producing...
directing.
Distribution,
post-production.
Yeah, it was totally, completely different conversation. So that was nice.
And then just an all-out... group of people that share common interests nerding out about stupid stuff,
yeah.
pop culture and Twitter stuff.
Movies.
And Facebook stuff. I don't know, anything else?
No. I was just happy the way I think the path has gone. The more it stays open, the more there will be to talk about, obviously. If
right.
we restrict it to just writing, it's... You run out of subjects.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean... The column has become the podcast, and the podcast has become the column, you know, in certain respects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to sort of to continue the point earlier, I mean, it gets really hard every week to sit here and say, well, you know, we spent the last week fucking around watching this movie, watching this show, and she rewrote 5 pages, and I wrote 6.
Yeah,
and moving on.
Harleysha, there we go. That's our update on writing.
Is
that a segue into what movies we watched?
Yes.
Ah.
So, well, it wasn't meant to be, but
it
I guess it can be. There's no way to do... I mean, I've been doing this since back in the column days. I have to end the year on the best and worst of 2013. I know it's a cliche. I know Entertainment Weekly does it. People does it. But it's just... Nerdist does it. But... It's just a
just
fun
like
way.
You pick your winners for the Oscars and all that crap, too.
Which, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because there are a couple of things that we have not seen yet. Most importantly, I think out of the sort of the Oscar race
mm-hmm.
end of the year, Wolf on Wall Street, we still haven't seen.
Right.
Nebraska, Frances Ha, Blue Jasmine, any of the foreign films, but we never watch any of those anyway. Although the blue is the warmest color, the 3-hour lesbian sex movie, I might have to sit down and watch that one. It's subtitled.
So you can muddle through it. Oh, yeah. Subtitles. Oh.
Yeah, foreign film.
Yeah.
Right. But so best and worst of the year. Let's start out with our worst. I'm gonna start out with a movie which is not my worst movie of the year, but I was told that, and it's on every list, and I told you it was deemed sort of one of the worst movies of the year, but it ended up not being that bad.
Yeah, why was everybody upset about that one? We couldn't figure out why this was, like, the worst.
It's horrible, but it's not unwatchable.
Right, which, there have been movies that we shut off, so you know that's really a bad movie.
Yeah.
If you can't even, like, put it on the background and do something else, even... That's how bad it is?
And that movie is The Host, which was supposed to be Stephanie Meyer's follow-up to Twilight. It was, you know, supposed to be this... It was the other book she wrote. And it did not... I mean, it tanked at the box office, and it did not get Twilight levels of that everyone thought that it would. I don't know that if anybody ever, you know, if it's a late night and you've been drinking and you're looking for something on Netflix,
that you don't have to pay too much attention to, but
yeah, put it on. There's a really annoying thing where, and it's even hard to explain, but there's an inner dialogue and an outer dialogue with one character, and the character really becomes two different people. Like, that's the setup.
Right.
I know it's really hard to... This makes no sense. But the bottom line is that they use voiceover in a really weird, fucked up way.
But it's interesting.
It's annoying.
It's annoying? Oh, okay.
Personally, for me.
Okay.
But to use that as a... Well, this is just the worst thing ever created. Yeah. No, I think that title probably falls, which, by the way, I've been going through a lot of lists, and this movie seems to top most of them. Movie 43. The piece of shit thrown together, bunch of celebrities doing fucked up shit.
That
fart
jokes, don't even
balls.
Interlink with, yeah.
Yeah. Avoid this one at all costs, people. Not worth the time. This is also a year of, I feel like a lot of people were upset with this year in terms of bloated movie.
We had that conversation.
I mean, it's like...
They only think that something to put money, worth putting money in is something that is going to cost...
X amount of dollars.
$100 million and make them back 3 times that.
Right.
So that's...
The year of the blockbuster, it was, let's see, we had Iron Man 3, Lone Ranger, which tanked. Did we have a Spider-Man? No, Spider-Man's this year. What was the other big one?
Batman or Superman last year?
Oh, Superman was this year. That's right.
Last year. It's a new year.
Oh, okay, whatever. I'm still thinking.
I know.
We're recording the show in 2013, so.
Oh, yeah. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Superman, what else was huge? Pacific Rim, it was just like a really big tentpole-y.
Yeah, like no new writer, it's like all established.
Lone Ranger tanked at the box office, wasn't a bad movie.
No, I liked it.
I had problems with the storytelling devices, but whatever. I'm kind of over the Johnny Depp doing
crazy shit
characters. Like, I think his next movie is actually him just being him.
I think, yeah.
Which I haven't seen since like 1995's Nick of Time. So it'll be nice to just see him without all of the bullshit and the makeup. I don't know, and you know, the funny thing is I always look forward to sort of the tentpole movies. Oh, World War Z, that was another one.
Yes.
Where
mixed feelings about that one?
Yeah, well, I don't. I mean, I had a problem. I had some problems with the CGI, but as the movie as a whole, like, your CGI zombies are never going to be as cool as Walking Dead actually done up zombies.
Right, right.
In the
right.
front,
right.
filled in with CGI in the back. And the fact that they're moving fast and sort of a wave, and I know that's a thing that, like, we haven't seen before, and okay, that's cool,
yeah.
but I just hope that they do something with it when they start working on the sequels, because it will become a trilogy, but...
Which, you know, is going to be hugely expensive, so, yeah.
Right. Well, hopefully they learn their mistakes, because that was... You know, get the fucking script right first.
Yeah.
Start there before you start shooting shit. Yeah, but no, I mean, World War Z, again, we were really looking forward to that movie, and I felt like it delivered a little bit.
Right.
I don't think
it was what it wasn't. No, but I don't know what I expected out of it. Something more than what we saw in the trailers, I guess.
I was super excited about Iron Man 3, and I actually loved Iron Man 3, but. Thinking back on it now, I don't really think like it delivered what the I don't know. I mean,
I like that one. No, that one was fine. That's, you just expect smash and rich things, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
James Bond. That was this year. That
no,
was
that was last
fucker.
Year.
Oh,
nice try.
Wanted to throw that one under the bus again.
I know. Which you kind of sort of did.
Thank
just
you.
By saying that right now. Yeah, I mean, and even, like, comedy was sort of a letdown. I think that in terms of comedy are...
Women's movies are...
The Heat.
The fact that it's more women comedians getting in there.
Comedy I was thinking of? Oh, Hangover 3 was a huge letdown. Like, thank God that movie is...
Are we done with that now? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a horrible ending to a franchise that probably should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah.
Star Trek Into Darkness, that was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, oh, no, wait, sorry, Juan. It was awesome. The 3D was amazing.
Dun, dun, dun.
But okay, but let's get into the nitty-gritty of our favorites of the year.
Yes.
I don't really have I didn't put a list in order, but just sort of off the top of my head, I felt like all of the movies that were smaller this year ended up being my favorite. Like, This Is the End.
Right.
You know, I mean, how can you deny having that kind of cast? I think probably my biggest, the biggest movie budget-wise that ended up being my favorite in that realm of tentpole movies was Fast and Furious 6. That was a movie that I actually left, like, super excited for, like, oh, that was awesome.
And making fun of shit and da da da. Well, what's on a list? What's on a the best list that you disagree with? Or that's missing?
Well, the best list is ultimately going to be Oscar stuff, so let's kind of... I don't want to front load this conversation with Oscar stuff because that's the most recent stuff we've seen.
Right.
I'm trying to think back to, like, what were we watching in March?
Right, that we said was outstanding.
There were a couple of surprises for me in terms of, like, Now You See Me, the magician movie, that took me by surprise.
I think I was expecting not to like that.
Yeah. Well, we had really no expectations going in. The only thing we knew was that it's a movie about magic and they steal shit.
Right. No, that was good. I like that.
I think that more so for me, maybe, than you, but Great Gatsby actually kind of surprised me. I didn't really know that story. And having, you know, what Baz Luhrmann usually does with music, having... sort of a contemporary hip-hop music soundtrack with a 1930s setting, and, you know, Leo did a great job,
mm-hmm.
which I don't normally say, mm-hmm. but he's coming into his own. That was a little bit of a surprise. Did you even make it through that movie?
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think all the way through it, and I'm like, I don't...
But you know the story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up liking that movie a lot more than I expected to like it.
Surpriser.
Going into... Okay, so going into our favorites of the year.
Okay.
You weren't as crazy about this movie as I was for several reasons, but I loved Gravity. There was a... You know, you talk about a movie where you don't need a lot of plot points, you don't need a lot of characters.
It's right.
Two characters in an incredible situation.
Right.
It was very well paced. There wasn't any slow moments. The shit started at the 15-20 minute mark and didn't stop until the 90 minute mark.
I literally, because I saw that in the script in the first 15 pages, I said, something is gonna go wrong consistently every fucking 5 minutes in this movie.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes. So I don't know. Is that a cheat?
No.
You don't think that's a cheat to just make shit go bad?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, but it wasn't... It didn't end badly. Spoiler alert.
For some.
Well, there's only two characters, so so there's a 50... I think if you don't know... Like, everybody and their fucking brother has seen that movie. If you don't know the outcome of what happens, then...
I love the fact that Lottie... we were talking about the differences between the script and the movie at brunch, and my comment was what he said to her, as he knows he's now floating into space in the script. He's telling her, get back to ship, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no, I'm going to get you. And he's like, in the script, he says, shut up and let me enjoy the view. I only have 10 seconds of air. So Lottie was like, why would you tell someone to shut up if it's the last person you're ever going to speak to in the world? I was like, I'm going to guess that's why I didn't put it in the movie.
You liked this movie a little bit more than I did, and it's actually your fault why I didn't like it. But American Hustle, you really liked it. I liked it, and I was really into it, until you said halfway through, like, okay, I know how this is going to end.
We do that all the time.
No. But here's the problem. Oh. Is that when you told me, like, okay, are you ready? This is how this is going to end. And you went through your ending.
Uh-huh.
I was so on board with that ending that the actual ending only became... You were half right.
Yeah, it was like pieces of it.
And I'm like, fuck, if it had been that from the beginning, if it was really more Ocean's 11 and
that's
less
what I was thinking.
American Hustle, I would have been down.
Yeah.
But you had created this level of expectation of like, like, oh my God, you're right. This is how this is going to end. It's all a fucking sham. And then it turns out to like, only a small piece of it was a sham.
See, man, it could have been better.
And I was like, I don't know. But it, you know, obviously 12 year, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to go into that movie yet. But, lots of true stories. Oscar season is always true story based.
Right.
We saw The Book Thief. I don't think anybody thought that was going to be amazing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just another Holocaust movie. Guess what? In this one, Nazis burned the books instead of Jews and Poles and Russians. It's like, okay. And? Like, they're really running out of Nazi stories to tell. And they kind of got to just wrap that up. And this coming from somebody who has a World War II script and wants to do a Nazi trilogy. But I mean, it's like, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, by the time you get ready for that,
it's going to come around again.
It's going to come around again. Vampires. We do this every couple years. Nazis, vampires, blah, blah, blah. The cycle is coming around.
A movie that we both really loved, The Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was interesting because just being able to see our society evolve, or not evolve, from the 50s to really the it finishes in 2013, but his time at the White House finished in the 80s.
Right.
But so they sort of skipped from 80 to 2013, but
the difference in attitudes, kindness and civility,
and how the nation was changing in terms of in regards to race, and not changing in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Very sad, you know. I'm going to beat Cheryl to it, but there was a lot of movies this year for Oscar season which she just finished the movie with. Okay, so we suck as a race.
I'm waiting for somebody to write the movie that I can, and my gut feeling with the movie that, oh my God, we are nice sometimes. I would just like to be able to say that once at the end of a movie, rather than, why do we suck so badly? And what planet can I move to if there's no mean people on?
One of the movies that... you know what? Let's segue into sucking as a race. 12 Years a Slave.
All of us. You know what? I'm including everybody in there. People in general.
Right.
Yep, the public.
12 Years a Slave. This movie is topping a lot of people's charts. And here's what I want to say about 12 Years a Slave. Acting is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly, given the cast that they've put together. Story, and sorry if this makes me seem like a horrible person, but could not give two shits about, like, and I'm going to quote you before you can quote you, because I think it really sums up 12 Years a Slave, because I was trying to figure out how to say it,
mm-hmm.
is the first 20 minutes is stuff that we have never seen before. And the ending...
Talking about slavery.
Which is the last 10 minutes is something we've never seen before. Everything in between is just fucking Roots. Like,
absolutely.
Okay, wait. Yeah. So,
slaves got lynched
and whipped. Black female slaves got raped by white slave owners. Like, they picked cotton for days and days, for hours on end, and got beaten if they did a bad job.
Right.
There was nothing new or nothing remotely interesting.
The only times that it was displayed, and it was very small spurts of it, but because he was literally a free person, and free people deal with somebody putting them down a lot different.
Sure.
So him turning the whip on the other guy.
Saw it in Django.
Happened in...
I mean, right.
But Django is another one that ends differently.
I think it happened in Roots, too. I mean, there's... Well, Django's complete fiction.
Running away, but not running away from his owner when they were just doing the, I'm just going to hide behind this tree until you calm your ass down.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a beating. I was like, I never saw that before.
But that is
literally just little dink.
Let me reiterate my statement. Not a bad movie and didn't not like it. Like, I still liked it.
But how long was that movie?
It was 2.5 hours.
Right. To just put Roots in the middle and a new story on either end, it's...
That was hard for me. And I, you know, I know it's a true story and that was his life and I'm not trying to shit on it in any way.
Once again, another movie I ended with, God, we really suck. We enslave some people twice. Oh, good for us.
Right. It didn't. I was ready to sit down and watch that movie and emotionally be moved.
Right.
And I wasn't. I think I was more emotionally moved by the butler than I was. Mm. And maybe that says something about me because I'm so disjointed. I mean, obviously, timeline-wise, we are closer to the butler than we are slavery.
Right.
And they still kind of deal with the same issues and. There are things in the Butler newscast and stuff like that I've seen. And so I can relate to what was happening and what I've studied.
Well, I mean, they did, which again was the first 20 minutes of it, but showing that, and I'm not sure the attitudes were this great. So I think the movie takes advantage of this a little bit, being that he was rich and he was in that shop at the white shopkeeper who was all, so it was in the North. So we had already said no slavery. But had we already gone to the level of, now I'm not prejudiced anymore? I find that hard to believe.
Right.
I can't believe his life was that good living in the North. So, but yeah. So other than that, it was a little disappointment.
Yeah,
still good movie.
Yeah, yeah, still good.
Could have shortened it. That's it.
One of the movies this year that, it's making everybody's huge favorite list. No. Let me stipulate that I'm not a big fan of the Coen brothers to begin with, mm-hmm. but Inside Llewelyn Davis, I mean, you're way more into folk music than I am,
right.
and that's only by saying like a quarter more than
right,
I am.
Right.
I don't know if that movie rung with you, but I don't see any point of that story being told whatsoever. He started out a shitty person. He ended a shitty person. It was just kind of an inside look to folk music in New York in the 60s, which, okay, why?
Yeah, who was asking for that script?
The music, I guess you can argue that it was sort of a musical because he performed, but, like, Crazy Heart was a musical, but I loved that movie way more, and I was more invested in the songs. This was just like, I don't know what it was, but wasn't a fan.
Not on the top 10.
No. I mean, what about you? Did you?
I'm very ambiguous about it. Ambivalent, rather.
One of my favorites of the year, and again, I have to preface this because it's one of my favorites, but because I knew how the story ended, it wasn't.
What?
Lone Survivor. Love the movie. It was kind of hard to watch at times because of what those guys went through physically. But the fact that... Well, I mean, it's in the fucking title. There's only one guy that gets out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, pick the one. You could probably pick all the red shirts from the beginning. So.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that Mark Wahlberg's face is on the poster
right.
with Lone Survivor right. over his forehead.
Oh.
That's like Finding Nemo. Like so the movie's about Finding Nemo. Guess what? Spoiler alert, they find Nemo. I think if I had gone in that story not knowing any of those details and being invested in the fact that he gets out, but going in knowing that... I mean, the movie opens with him getting out.
Right.
They start that.
Right.
Which I kind of felt was a little bit shitty. Like, okay, you've already put it in the title, you've already put it on the poster, and
really?
You put it in the first 5 minutes, and I think it...
How about we just do it linear time?
Yeah.
Skip that
like,
whole...
Okay, so then
flip
why...
Flip back and forth.
Why do we have to sit through this experience of watching them get the shit beat out
Ugh,
of them?
Brutal. Absolutely
But
brutal.
I love the movie.
Yes.
Actually,
I want to say that it I think it got a lot more rise out of everybody seeing the training that they went through.
For you guys.
Right.
I've seen that.
Yeah, me
before,
and Allie are just yelling on TV, we're dicks, why do we do that to people?
Yeah. Which, again, was the credit sequence. I mean, that wasn't even...
I know, it wasn't even the movie, but that was... I was like, ah!
The Hobbit 2, way better than the first one, because there was less talking and more action. Thank God. But still... Lots of walking. Hasn't changed since the fucking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those movies you can go to the bathroom, come back, and say, no, they were just walking. It's all right. They haven't stopped anywhere.
a couple of favorites that actually were surprises. I really liked Saving Mr. Banks. That...
Yes, I did too.
The story...
Made you want to go watch...
Yeah, well, we were sitting there an hour into the movie being like, you know, I kind of want to watch Mary Poppins because I don't remember that... I don't remember Mary Poppins being about all of that.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a thing. There was it was interesting because it was from a writer's point of view. That's why I thought it was interesting.
It was interesting about that. And, you know, me being somebody so fascinated with the golden age of Hollywood, mm-hmm. like, and growing up loving those cartoons and stuff like that. I mean, I turned to you, 20 minutes into the movie, and I was like, could you imagine being on the Disney lot when Walt...
Ugh.
Was around. I mean, just being in...
Back when it was really sparkly and magical?
Yeah, like, it was singing and dancing and the artist acting out stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, if anybody's ever seen a documentary about the cartoonists back in the day that worked for Disney. I mean, Disney was just working for Disney, the studio, was the happiest, funnest place on earth. Not the parks, right, not any right, of that right. shit. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of like-minded people doing what they love doing, yeah. having fun doing it,
yep.
and seeing that world mixed with her world of, you know, fuck all of you for being children.
Right.
Like, grow the fuck
up. Stop singing!
Yes. Why is there singing and dancing going on? And seeing, you know, Tom Hanks, for the most part, plays Tom Hanks a lot, but, I mean, he really did become Walt Disney, and he's...
Oh, I thought he was good. I could see how that could be a scary...
And him,
could
and
see
him,
Walt as a scary person.
And not... But that was the beauty, that was yeah. the subtlety of the performance.
Right.
Because he said everything with a smile on his face,
absolutely.
But his words were like, Walt got what he fucking wanted.
Right.
And he was never going to take no for an answer.
Right.
And,
but you can call me Walt.
But yes. another one of my favorites that I think was a surprise for you too, a surprise for me, was Don John. The Joseph Gordon-Levitt
mm-hmm.
written and directed Hooked on Porno
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
Funny as shit, Scarlett Johansson nailed it.
That which I completely had a different end, I thought, from the advertisements that I got, that I did not understand any of the characters.
Right.
So yeah, I was like, what? She's a what?
And I was
why?
You know, and here,
so it was good.
Here's the funny thing about that movie. I didn't tell you this, but I was getting very tense. In the first 30 minutes or so of that movie, I was getting, like, I'm sitting on the couch, and I think you were at your desk or walking around or doing whatever, and I was getting very tense because I was waiting for you to go off on the fucking men are stupid because of the shit that they were saying,
uh-huh.
and...
Ha ha, surprised you there, didn't
I? I know, I was like, oh my god, we're not going to be able to watch this movie because she's just going to go off on the idiocy of men and fucking porn and this, and the other thing, and you didn't, which was, again, it helped me enjoy the movie a little bit more.
No, I was totally on the dissing the women in that movie. Like, have a conversation. Watch one with him. Give him head so he doesn't need to see it on screen. You
right.
know? Pick something. Do something. Instead of saying, stop watching porn.
One of the movies that I liked that you did in Out of the Furnace, Christian Bale, Woody Harrelson has become, I mean, he's an amazing actor
yeah.
regardless, but when he plays shitty,
yeah,
he really knows how to play
yeah,
shitty.
Yeah, he does. He plays shitty very well.
I'm just kind of going through, is that it for Oscar stuff? We haven't seen Hunger Games. We haven't seen Wolf on Wall Street.
Right.
I'm going through the list of movies that came out this year.
Is Mitty on the...
Yeah, we haven't seen Walter Mitty. I'm not a Ben Stiller fan. I will tolerate that movie, but...
Well, I am, so...
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'll tolerate it. Prisoners was kind of a disappointment, I thought. Hugh Jackman was amazing acting, and Paul Dano always acts in it,
mm-hmm.
Does a great job, but... Yeah, I mean, it was what it was.
Yep.
A little bit too long. Were the Millers going back? That was, I guess that was a good comedic. Anything Jennifer Aniston does where she's not Rachel, where she, I feel like that curse of her still
yeah,
being attached to
I
Friends.
Agree.
Elysium, you liked.
I did.
I liked the script better than I actually liked the movie. Man of Steel was fine. Riddick was all right.
Yeah.
Was what it was.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass 2 is all right. The Family, Don't Waste Your Time. We haven't seen August Osage County yet. That'll happen when it happens. It's Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts, so you know that's not
right.
high on my list.
Higher on mine then. So,
Two Guns was all right. Mark Wahlberg and Denzel did good.
Yeah.
Fruitvale Station, what did you think about that? Another true story about...
Which one was it?
That was one where the kid gets shot on New Year's. Really?
I know. Dude, I have like six...
I know.
We
We've
start talking about
a
movie
movies.
And I go, oh, the ending of... No, that's the other movie. this ending was...
That was the one where the kid, the African-American male, they all get drunk on the subway.
Oh, and coming back from New Year's, that was terrible.
And get shot by a rent-a-cop.
Yes. So, again, we saw it a lot.
Oh, here's another movie I want to talk about. Again, I was a big fan of it. You weren't, because it deals with a subject matter that you don't give two shits about. But I actually really liked Rush, which was Ron Howard's Formula One movie.
Yeah.
That, of course, you were Boys Are Stupid all up and down.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought, I'm used to watch Formula One when I was a kid. My parents forced me, so... I knew way more about that story than I should have, and actually liked seeing the bits and pieces that I didn't know. Which, by the way, we said that more than a couple of times watching all these true stories of how, like, we really liked watching fictional works based on true stories because it's like we knew this, and that, but we didn't know all of the other stuff that came to it.
Right, and of course it's based on a true story, so you never know what part of it.
So then it forces us to go look it up.
We gotta go look it up, and then we start researching the story, and go, oh my god, this is even shittier than the movie makes it look.
There's been a few times where I've been sitting on my phone, on the couch, looking Wikipedia-ing shit as we're watching it.
Oh, it's even shittier.
It's even shittier than... last two movies that I want to talk about, because they're the last... Oh, no, actually, sorry, three. Runner, Runner, Disappointment. Both of us fell asleep. Not because the movie was horrible, but because we were just really tired and we started watching it at like 1 o'clock in the morning. But it wasn't holding us.
We might have to try that one again.
Yeah, we might have to sit down. And then, again, we as shitty people. Mandela, which the acting, again, phenomenal, but the story, horrible.
Yeah.
Not horrible... Bad, horrible, like just horrible.
We already
bad.
Knew it. Yeah, you know the story. Like, no. Here we go.
The script wasn't bad.
No,
the story itself was horrible.
Right, right.
It was a good movie.
Right.
And lastly, I just want to throw this one out because it's a movie that we watched, not knowing anything about it. The only thing I knew was that Nat Faxon and Jim Rash wrote it, and that they had won the Academy Award for writing. The Descendants. This was the movie that they wrote before this that actually got them the job at The Descendants, but it took them 8 years to get financing to do this movie and an Academy Award to get this movie financed. But
that is an interesting story, totally.
The Way, Way Back was awesome. It was an amazing independent film. Sam Rockwell, who I'm not usually a fan of, did a phenomenal job as slacker manager of this water park. Steve Carell played a dick, which super awesome.
And he did a really good job.
He did a really good job playing a dick.
I almost was like, oh my god, are you really like that as a dad? Is that how that's coming so easy?
Allison Janney played Crazy Neighbor, which she did amazing. An amazing job. And even the kid who I don't know where he came from or what his background is, I didn't look it up, but even the kid who's sort of subjected to this world, did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. Like, his little morose, angsty teenage thing
emo.
Sort of worked for him. And which reminds me of one other movie that is in Oscar contention, which again, we'll talk about a lot of this stuff again when the Oscar noms come out in a couple of months. But enough said. This movie was super depressing for a couple of reasons. One, the subject matter is about dating again after divorce. So the movie really focuses on the negativity of relationships.
Right.
Which is fascinating in and of itself. And then it's super depressing because it's James Gandolfini's last movie. And the thing that's depressing about that is that in his last role, he played a role that he'd never played before, which was just a guy. He was just a guy. He was a single dad from a divorce, trying to make ends meet. He was
a nice guy.
He wasn't brutish. He wasn't angry. He didn't yell. He didn't.
He worried about his weight.
He didn't stomp on other people. He wasn't whacking anybody.
And it was it. he did it great.
Yeah, it was his.
He could have had a new future in movies. I can see him as now playing the dad.
He was a leading man, and he was a leading man, and that so that was uber depressing to see somebody kind of break the mold,
mm-hmm.
and then know that we'll never see that a performance like that again.
I know.
So that's
well, I'm glad he finished it though.
Yeah, totally. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, as always, is her neuroticness was toned down a little bit. Yeah, but
I definitely saw a new, different types of crying, types of I feel sick that I've done this, and different stretches from her.
Right. So I guess that pretty much sums up the year. I
would say so.
Yeah, we'll have more to say when more of the screeners come around.
Yes.
Anything you... Okay, so 2014. Professionally, I think we're around the same age. We're both looking forward to doing more shit and getting things done. In terms of movies, 2014 is going to bring us, again, more tentpole pictures. Amazing Spider-Man... I don't know, Godzilla. We got a Transformers movie this year. I don't know if there's anything.
It's so hard
I'm looking
to outdo yourself from your. You know what I mean? Like Spider-Man, I liked the last Spider-Man.
I did too.
It's like you have to keep one upping yourself when you start that huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I'm. I think the movies, if we go back and listen to last year's show, when we did our what we were looking forward to this year, I don't think it's going to match up to any of the movies.
No,
that we
I don't
up.
Think so either.
That's funny. We should. Just I don't want to do that. no, I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I'm looking forward to a lot of stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing some original shit, but again, much like every year. We're always in this sort of ebb and flows of movies where, like, right now we're in the midst of sad, depressing Oscar bullshit. And we'll do this for about another month or so. And then it's like, fuck, I just want to see giant shit beating each other up.
Yeah.
Can we just get that?
Should we just go watch an old zombie movie?
So then we go through the summer, and by the time August rolls around, it's like, Jesus Christ, I just want to see some personal stories about simple people.
Doesn't anybody have a real story anymore? Yeah.
So we bitch and moan and whine just like everybody else. Yep. But
Because we're the public.
It was funny because we sat down last night to watch Lone Survivor, and we finished it, and Alex was like, do you have anything funny? Yeah, we're like, no, it's Oscar season. no funny.
It's nothing. Documentary? No?
Oh, you know, another shout-out I want to throw out for documentaries is Dave Grohl did a documentary, Sound City, which came out early this year, early in 2013. If you haven't seen it, I believe it's on Netflix. It's about a recording studio that, like, everybody on the fucking planet used way back in the day. And it's got some amazing interviews with Fleetwood Mac, Trent Reznor, just a whole ton of people. Definitely check that out. And the soundtrack, too. They did a lot of original music. Queens of the Stone Age and Nine Inch Nails getting together, and Trent Reznor getting together to do a song.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, music nerd wood right there.
Right.
So definitely check that out. It's you haven't seen it yet,
have
you?
No, I have not. I was just going to say that.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely have to watch it because it's pretty... I geek out about, like, just hearing the stories of back in the day.
Yeah. What it used to be like to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is, you know, that sound studio is essentially what created... It got Mick Fleetwood and... what's her name?
The blonde. Yeah.
Oh my god. I just had it in my head, and then a porn name came into my head.
I went to Janis Joplin. I'm like,
no,
what?
No.
Nikki. Yes.
What? This is horrible.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks. That's right.
God. cards.
That's where they met.
Yeah.
And thus Fleetwood Mac was the new Fleetwood Mac, because they had been around for a while.
Right.
It wasn't until they went there to record their latest album that they met Stevie Nicks, and then Fleetwood Mac became the Fleetwood Mac that everybody knows now. But yeah, so shit like
that's pretty cool.
Fascinating. All right, well, I guess everybody have a great 2014, and you know,
wish everybody luck and hope
dust off 2013.
You're writing, do some writing.
Yes, do some writing. We, on the other hand, are going to focus on more immediate issues like food. Let's go get some lunch.
Food.
All right. Good luck to you in 2014.
You too.
I'll be around.
Uh-huh. I didn't think either of us was dying yet, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Did I mention?
Obamacare. I let you do the show without getting political.
I know.
How awesome is that?
I didn't feel the need to.
Santa knows white, kids. He just is.
Yeah.
All right, people. Have a good 2014, and we will be back next week. And most importantly in 2014, put some cheese on that cracker.
Peace out.